Rhetorical question. How many of you really believe God is always in a good mood? I do. He's never angry at me. Even when I fail, he may discipline me, but he's never angry at me for one second. That anger was poured out at Christ at the cross. So I don't have to experience his anger. I get to experience his love and kindness and his mercy. And we get to sit in his lap in our prayer time and just really enjoy a good and faithful daddy. Amen? Well, I felt like I have a couple of words. I feel like I know for sure I have the freedom to share with one word. Adam, I feel like I have a word for you. I feel like you've been faithful to what God's called you in this season. But I feel like it's a real transition season for you. I'm not saying you're leaving Emmanuel Ministry, and for those who don't know, he works at the ministry that we support, and he's a big reason we support Emmanuel Ministry. But I'm telling you, you've kind of been like Elijah as he poured water on Elijah for 12 years. Now, I know you haven't been there for 12 years, but you've been faithful to serve, and God's really released a lot of authority to you because of your heart of humility and a heart to serve. But I'm telling you, it's kind of like Joshua took the keys to lead Israel because it's time for Moses to Exodus, if you will. And there's a real transition being given to you. And I'm not saying you're going to start your own ministry in What Is or anything like that. But I'm telling you, watch a new door to open because God is getting ready to move you either in the ministry to higher influence and authority to affect more people or the city. But you've been faithful to really serve. But there really is a door transition. When I saw you today, I felt like it was just written the word over your forehead, transition. And I really feel like you're in a transitional season. Cool? Sound good? And if I'm wrong, just kidding. I'm playing. So, yeah, throw the stones. That's Old Testament. So, well, and again, if you're a guest, we really believe, it says in Acts 2, we were given a mandate to prophesy. Every one of us, as Christians, sons and daughters of the King, we get to hear the whispers that he wants to encourage other people with in the journey. And that's what's really, really neat. So that's what happened there. And I feel like I have one more word, but I feel like I'm supposed to do that in private afterwards. So I want to come and pray for a person or two after the service. Just real quickly, I want to share, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. And I'm going to share quickly. And as you're turning there, we're going to look at a couple of different scriptures. You know, I've never seen, I think my son and daughter, it's one of their favorite shows, CSI, and then there's New York CSI, and then there's Miami CSI, and I may be saying all the titles wrong, but so what is it? Okay, thank you. That shows how much I've watched it. But as I was going through the channels one day, I saw that it's about they do these tests to find the DNA of situations. You see, at one time before there was a sin, the entire DNA of God was all over the face of the earth. His love, His mercy, His authority filled the earth. Then Adam and Eve decide that they want to release the DNA of kingdom of darkness, if you will. And they choose to disobey God's voice. You can eat of all the trees in the garden, but this one, don't eat of it, because when you do, you'll surely die. And so when they disobeyed God, there was a DNA of the kingdom of darkness that was released to the face of the earth. And that darkness is the shame, that darkness is, that DNA is the brokenness that you and I can experience at different times. You see, but when I read the Word and I really have those times with God of ministry like we did just a moment ago, and in worship, I can feel the DNA of God. Did you feel it today? Did you feel the DNA of His mercy? Did you feel the DNA of His kindness? That causes me to repent. Did you feel the DNA of His love? See, that's the DNA you and I carry as children of God. We've got to start learning. We've got, what's the name of the show again? NCI, thank you. NCI, CESI, whatever, NCI. in New York and in Miami and Dallas and all these names that they're coming up with of all these different places that they It's time that we know the DNA of who lives within us. It's a great deal that happened at the cross in Matthew 27. I encourage you to keep reading the Gospels at the end of the story of his journey. It says in Matthew as he breathes his last breath, and in John we hear that he makes the decree, it is finished. Because you see, all up to that point, the DNA of the kingdom of darkness had been so released that the disobedience turned to a brother killing another brother in Cain and Abel. You see, sin is cancerous, and that's the reason we've got to learn to punish it quickly and get back in right alignment with God when we mess up. It's not that he's going to whack me, but I don't want that cancer to release deeper into my mind, deeper into my emotions, and deeper into my attitudes, because that's what it does. Act of disobedience, a brother kills a brother, all the way to Genesis 8. And I think it's one of the saddest, if not the saddest, scripture in the Bible. It's the days of Noah. And God says this. You have something to say, Caitlin? You stood up. I'm giving you a hard time. It's you, so I wanted to give you a hard time. She stood up. So you got a word? Come on. That would have been somebody different. I would have done that. But she, with her, I love doing that to her because she's so quiet and shy. Now she's going to send me a mean email later today. Kidding. She's too sweet to do that. Yeah. She's very sweet and gracious to me anyway. Thank you. Thank you. Now, where was I at? I digress. Say it again. Saddest story. Saddest scripture in the Bible. And thank you. Come on. Well, man, y'all just all get up here. We'll just do a tag team deal. It says this. God says, I wish I would have never created man. When I read Genesis 8, I hear the heartbeat of God in that. It wasn't that he hated mankind. He hated the DNA of darkness that the devil releases to his creation. And it broke his heart that man had gone from Genesis 1 to Genesis 8. And he cried out, I wish I'd have never created man. Because it gave the enemy a platform to be able to get in and to release darkness where there had been perfect light. The DNA of darkness versus the DNA of God. And see, we get to be the NCIers, if you will, to locate the true DNA and release it. So now back to the cross. You like that? Yeah, it's pretty bad, but anyway. I'll admit when something's really bad in my message. But here we are at the cross. Jesus declares it is finished. And the DNA, remember what brought man to life to a living being in Genesis 1 was what? The breath of God. You've got to read from the beginning and then read the Gospels of the journey at the end, and you see the breath of heaven, the breath of God being exhaled at the very end as Jesus proclaims, it is finished. What does it do? As it's recorded in Matthew 27, it is so powerful that it starts shaking rocks. It starts releasing an earthquake. It starts causing the dead people in the cemetery to come out. The DNA of darkness was so wicked of how it had gone from Genesis 1 to Genesis 8. But now the last Adam, as recorded in Corinthians, when he exhaled that voice, that breath, that it is finished, dead things started coming to life. Remember, Genesis 1, dead's released because of disobedience. Now, the last Adam is reversing a curse. Life starts touching dead things. And I love how it says in the scripture, the dead come to life and start hanging out in the cemetery. Can you see this, King David? Whoa! All of a sudden, King Saul, and yeah, I do believe even though King Saul had some failures and stuff, I think he's man of God. All of a sudden, King David and King Saul start walking out of their tombs, and maybe Esther, I don't know who the clientele was on that day in the cemetery, but can you see it? This is what Scripture says happened. I don't know if it was 10. I don't know if it was hundreds. I don't know if it was thousands. But all of a sudden, the DNA of heaven touched dead, and dead came to life. And they hang out in the cemetery for 3 days. The Scripture says that after the Christ's resurrection, because he had to be the first fruit to really come forth. And as he came out of his tomb, here comes this band of brothers and sisters that Scripture says King David, Esther, whoever this group of people were, started going into the cities. Can you imagine? Their great, great, great nieces and nephews or whatever going, whoa, you're what, King David? That's the DNA of heaven that lives in you and I, because Romans 8 says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That same scripture quotes the same thing in Ephesians 1. You see, we've got to get this lid off of us that we prayed and broke off of all of us just a moment ago. You see, the devil knows that if we really get this thing, no, stay with me. If we really get this thing, we can drive home today and pray over our cities, and the DNA of God's released. We'll get to prophesy over our families in our quiet times. And all of a sudden, you'll start noticing a radical difference in a niece or nephew or son and daughter who may not be walking with the Lord. That little chaos that's going on at work that you are contributing to because you're not taking your rightful place as a man or woman of God and speaking life to where there's death in your workplace. Come on, am I right? Nancy at least believe it. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you. Am I right? Is this not scripture? Why do we believe it 2,000 years later? Why do we believe it in the book of Acts? David Madison, I want to tell you, you're greater and more anointed than the Apostle Peter. And I mean that with everything within me. Dan Brown, same thing as the Apostle Paul. If we'll rise up and walk in our generation and in our time. Rebecca, you're more anointed than Esther in the Bible. Philip, you're more anointed than John the Baptist. The list goes on and on, but we're listening to the DNA of the kingdom of darkness instead of listening to the DNA of who God says that we are. The very thing that we read about in the book of Acts, the very thing that I read a couple of weeks about John G. Lake and the wells of revival that he opened up in Spokane, Washington, and all of those things, you and I carry that same anointing and even greater. We can speak to marriages and see them reconciled. Just have fun with the kids. It's like a zoo. Just kidding. Please don't send me an email, parents. I'm kidding. Just having a little fun. So, real quick, I'm going to close this up. Verse 11. The women have gone to the tomb. And they've seen that he's risen. And they come back and they say that he's risen. And he's said to go to Jerusalem to meet him. And here's the guys that have walked with him for 3 years. They've seen blind eyes open. They've seen Lazarus raised from the dead. But this is what they say. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. You know, you and I are letting this message sound like nonsense way too much. It's a message that transforms. I started thinking about this message of Jesus. It's loving and kind, and is the greatest love story ever told, ever lived out, just like what Wendy Kay shared earlier in the ministry. He's radically in love with you. This message, do you think it sounded like nonsense to the woman caught in adultery? Read these scriptures later this week. John 8, 1 through 11. I love that story. She's thrown down in the midst by the accusers being the religious. She's thrown down there. They want to stone her. But the giver of life says, well, those without sin, go ahead and throw that stone. They all have to drop their rocks and leave. That message must have seemed like nonsense to that lady until she gets up and meets him eye to eye. And he says, woman, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That message of nonsense as she walks away and she should have been dead according to Old Testament principles. She walks away and that message of nonsense becomes a message of transformation and destiny. Then the woman at the well, she's got 5 failed marriages. She's living with the dude. And the one who brings a message that 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, that the message of the cross is foolish. It's nonsense to those who do not believe. But to those who believe, it's the power of God. Oh man, the greatest gift we could give God, our Daddy in heaven, today on this 2012 East, the time we celebrate Easter, is to really believe it. Aren't you tired of having Easters that you get pumped up for a couple of days? And by Wednesday, it's a message of nonsense again instead of a message that really transforms. The woman at the well, she's there in the heat of the day because she can't go out to the well during the time when all the other ladies are there because, you see, there's shame on her. 5 failed marriages and living with the guy. But she encounters the one whose message is nonsense. Because how can you love like that? How can you forgive like that? He does. She receives it that day in that water pot that she had gone out with in the heat of the day. She leaves it there to run back to tell this village of the one that carries a message of nonsense. But it transforms. This woman becomes the greatest evangelist in the Gospels. Half the village gets saved immediately because of her testimony. So I love the message of God. It's so powerful in its leaven that just a jaunt from a well into a city, you become an evangelist. Come on, man, this is good stuff. It's the message and the seed of the Word of God that lives in us. We've heard the DNA of the darkness of the accusation for far too long that when we sit in services in Easter or other times, we go, well, that's really good. And your transformation lasts about a half a block away. When in heaven, you're already transformed. And you're the mighty man and woman of God that God says you are. Amen? Just a few more examples. Think of this message that's nonsense. Saul, he's killed folks. He's your Osama bin Laden of that time. He's dragging out Christians. He's dragging out the Becky Mastins in that day and time. And he's killing them. But then he encounters this message of nonsense in whom? Stephen. They dragged him out. Saul's taking everybody's coats, as you read in Acts 7. And he watches them stone with rocks. Stephen, And in the midst of this stoning, Stephen declares, this nonsense message has transformed my life. I saw the message hanging on the cross in Jesus one day when he declared to the masses, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And now in Acts 6 and 7, that message of nonsense has become a message of transformation. And now he is being the messenger of Christ to what would be the greatest apostle and maybe the greatest Christian in the Bible, that Saul would become Paul. Transformation. Stephen's no different than you and I. The message came within him, became living. It picked up speed because that's what the leaven of kingdom living does. And he becomes a mouthpiece and an instrument that Jesus uses that day. Saul goes along his way. He doesn't even realize, again, I said spirit, soul, and body. He's watched it with his mind. He's watched it with his will and emotion. But his spirit man's getting ready to encounter the message of nonsense. He's walking on that road to Damascus that it says in 8 and 9 of Acts. And he's walking on that road, and all of a sudden that scripture says a bright light, the DNA of heaven, showed up. He deserved death, but he's going to get grace from a daddy who loves Saul. And he goes, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? And why are you kicking against the persecution, I mean the conviction I'm bringing into your life? So the Spirit of God was working in the spirit realm on the very heart of Saul. And this message of nonsense became a message of hope and transformation. Saul would go blind for 3 days. He would be sitting there scared to death, not eating. I think I would be having those same things going on with me if all of a sudden I could see and I was blind and I heard the voice from heaven in a bright light. I would probably be doing some serious praying and fasting also. And Ananias, in a house a few miles away or whatever, gets a word of knowledge from this message of nonsense, but it's a message of transformation. And he goes and he lays hands on Saul, and scales fall off of Saul's eyes. And a prophetic word is released of how Saul would be used to take the message to the Gentiles. I could go on and on about how Cornelius, a Gentile in Acts 10, trips over his ottoman in his living room, if you will, because an angel shows up. When I read that, I just see him go, whoa, and he trips over an ottoman. I mean, that's what I'd have been doing. Trips over an ottoman and an angel goes, man, Cornelius, the way you've been living in the soul and in your will by your giving and praying, it's built a monument. And it's that monument and that essence of incense has come up to God in heaven. And now it's your time to receive the fullness of his kingdom. Cornelius was a portal. He was a window of why you and I sit in church today. Can I tell you, you're a window that lets either good or bad out to people all around you? Cornelius was a portal that you and I sit here today over 2,000 years later because of the way he lived his life. I try to get us to get this because the way we live our life, people are either being blessed or having to wait on their blessing of the Lord until we get it in order. Amen, right? Or he has to send somebody else to do your job. I'm tired of God having to send somebody else to do my job that I get to have the privilege and honor to bless. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a window. You got some dirty specks on you. Let God clean you up. Just kidding. I could go on and on. The thief on the cross, can you imagine? He sees the grace of Christ, the grace of God. And the message of nonsense, because the scripture says that they're both cussing Jesus out, and somewhere in that 6 hours on the cross, the one thief goes, ah. And I could just see him kind of leaning up the best he could, trying to tell the other thief, shut up. We deserve what we are getting. But have you not seen that this is an innocent man holy and just. In 6 hours, I've come to realize that this message of nonsense is a message that has convicted my heart and my spirit. And oh, by the way, Jesus, when you get to paradise, would you remember me? You see, he thought the kingdom of darkness, that DNA, had so rotted his life out that he had no way to get into heaven. Oh, don't you love Jesus' kindness? Bro, I'm not only going to remember you, but you're going to be there with me. A message of nonsense becomes a message of transformation that you and I have been able to drink of, and we get to drink of it daily. The Roman soldier at the cross beat Jesus. But there, during the midst of the earthquake, maybe hearing David screaming from the cemetery, I don't know. Just a little mic version there. He goes, truly, this was the Son of God. A message of nonsense on a cross became a message of transformation. You and I have drank of this transformation. You see, I think we've got to get to the point, I don't want to sin. I'm too much in love with him. Because you see, as I was preparing this message, I felt like the Lord told me there were going to be some of us here today that we have a cycle of sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Drugs, alcohol, whatever the thing may be. Don't you want to be so undone like what Wendy Kay was talking about? He's so in love with you. It's not about a cycle of sin. It's about I get to receive a message of nonsense that becomes transformation that I just want to be with him. He's not angry at you, but today is your day to have a cycle of sin broken off of your life. That it's that cycle that every April comes around or every prophetic season comes around. It's an internet pornography that we tap into or whatever it may be. You see, sin is not about do's and don'ts. Sin actually means you miss the mark of being in the glory of God. That's what sin actually means when you look up the original. It doesn't have all these do's and don'ts. I want to be so in love with him and so undone that I want to be in the midst of his glory and not on the outside just barely getting into the kingdom of God. Right? Here's the midst of his glory. Too many of us as Christians, we want to walk this fine line and we don't want to get that close. We just, man, I know I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I really... No, man, let's come to the middle. You see, that's what they did in the book of Acts. And they turned the world upside down, is what it said in Acts 17:6. Let's quit skirting on the outside. And let's come to the middle, where we're undone by his grace and kindness every day. Guys, we have communion. Yeah. Sounded like God did it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to prophesy. All right, as they hand it out, if you'll just hold it until we all have the communion elements. I want to invite you. You don't have to stop taking communion on a regular basis just because we've made it to Easter. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to release greater revelation of the power of these elements more and more and more and more. If you're one of those that you do have a cycle of sin in your life, I want to invite you to eat of the one who kindness and love breaks cycles of sin and calls us into our destiny as sons and daughters. And as you get the elements, I want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. For those who haven't got it yet, keep them open so they don't have to hit you with the tray. But how about you? Do you remember the message of nonsense? And now it's a message of transformation. Me being an 8-year drug and alcoholic, how could I get on my knees? I'm feeling so guilty that I've wasted 8 years of my life wasted money to bookies, money to druggies. It's kind of hard to get the elements, druggers. I just came up with the new name there, druggies. And a message of nonsense, of kindness and love. I get up, totally transformed. And where I had been so concerned that I had wasted 8 years and a lot of resources, can I tell you, over the last almost 30 years now, God's already made up for those 8 years, because that's what His Word promises. He's already blessed me way past those resources, because that's what He promises. That's how powerful the message of nonsense becomes a message of transformation. Everybody have it? He's good. We'll feed him here in a minute with some elements. Ask the Lord, you pray. Ask Him to be real with you. Pray in your heart, what do these elements mean to you? What do you want them to mean to you? Well, Father, we thank You that You have called us all to come and be Your children. And Lord, I thank You that the message of nonsense that we rejected at times and then we accepted has become a message of transformation. And we love You and we give You praise, and we take these elements, remembering all that You have done, and we honor You, Lord, and say we love You. We honor You, honor You, honor You.